Good morning. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter today, chapter 4. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, please, I hope you'll do that. Grab a bulletin if you haven't already so you can jot down scripture references, because you should be checking those as I reference things, checking that out for yourself. Before we get into the word, I just want to, I'm not going to talk much about it because I'll start crying if I do, but Israel. I am so glad that he's the Prince of Peace. Yes. So pray for peace. Pray for salvation. Claim those promises that God is at work within all things for good. Even horrible, horrible things like are happening there. So I'm just trusting that people are going to come to the end of themselves and come to the Savior. And let's pray for that. Been a few times recently at the stores, I'm noticing the Christmas trees up everywhere. You guys have probably seen that. I was kind of surprised the other day, about a week ago, in the mail we got from Amazon a wish book. So you guys remember the old Sears wish books? I've referenced those a few times. But yeah, did anybody else get the Amazon book? Yeah, so Amazon's sending out a book now. It's colorful. It's not as big as the old Sears book, but they call it Amazon's Amazing Holiday Dash or something like that. Maybe it's just Holiday Dash, but all kinds of colorful stuff. There's little mazes and stickers for kids in it, but tons of toys to look at. Our granddaughter Arwen was at our house, and we let her look through that, and like most kids, get me this. Yeah, it's just, yeah. And we like to give gifts, but we don't want to overdo it. We just want people in our life to know that we love them. And gifts are one of the ways that we can do that. I should probably give my wife more gifts than I do. In my heart, a lot of times, I feel motivated to give her a gift of some kind, and I don't necessarily follow through. But the Bible tells us that God is a great gift giver. He's an awesome gift giver. We sang it earlier, every good and perfect gift. Coming from the Father of heavenly lights, he doesn't change. He's given us his Son, the most wonderful gift. Man, I'm so grateful for the cross. So grateful for the blood of Christ and the body of Christ given for me and given for you, that he has given us a Savior. He's given us a friend and a Lord and helper and shepherd. So grateful for Jesus. What an awesome gift. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost coming as a gift, God giving us himself to his church. And there's important purposes behind God's gifts. I mean, God is communicating behind the things he gives us, certainly love and certainly meeting our needs, but several important purposes in giving us the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit, God sending his Spirit to identify Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior. You know, we would never have come to Christ. There was nothing about him that would have drawn people other than the Holy Spirit revealing to people who this is, that this is the Son of God, and to testify to us, you know, at the core of our being, we know Jesus is Lord. I hope you know that today. I know that Jesus is Lord. I know that he is Savior. I know it. I know it in my being, and that's not because I'm smart. I'm not. It's because God reveals that. The Holy Spirit has revealed that. What a gift to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to will and to do what God wants us to do in our lives as the church. He's given us his Spirit to give us life within us that changes us and makes us more like Jesus Christ, that we would look more like Jesus and have that family resemblance. God's given us himself to empower our witness. Amen. So that when we speak to people truth of the gospel message, that God empowers that in some way to draw people to the Savior. And then even collectively in the church. I mean, I know that none of us are perfect, and I know that we don't all get along necessarily perfectly, but we get along pretty well because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the great, I don't know, emulsifier. He's the one who takes oil and water. You know, some of us are really different from each other. But the Holy Spirit, and God's intentional in this, that in the Holy Spirit, sometimes in marriages, right? It's a bit of oil and water, but God is so awesome. Then in the giving of the Holy Spirit, that he can bring people together, and we have this sweet fellowship in the Holy Spirit. and the body of Christ. And God's intentional in that. It's part of our witness to the world. Yeah. It should be. Yeah. That when they look at us, not only seeing a change in our lives, right? Who I was before, then Jesus, and different now, and certainly not perfect, absolutely not. None of us are a perfect witness at all. But there's a difference there. But even collectively, that people see there's something going on here with these folks who follow Jesus. And I've heard many of you testify to that you came here and you visited a time or two, and not just us. I mean, and I pray for that all over the county, that churches are lifting up the name of Jesus and that they're preaching the Word of God and that God's adding to their numbers and that people see a difference. They're like, wow, man, what? These people, they love, and they're different. So as we get into the Word of God today, about a month ago on September 3rd, I preached a message from 1 Peter chapter 2. And we looked a little bit at chapter 1 and chapter 3 that day, but it was titled Living for the Glory of God and the Good of Others or the Benefit of Others. And today's sermon is kind of a part 2 to that. I didn't realize that until I was really digging into the Word. But you may go back if you missed that on September 3rd and check that out on the website. And really, verse 10 today, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. And verse 10 is really a key verse here. And I would encourage you to really dig into this, to pray over this, to memorize it. But we're going to start in verse 7. And Peter writes, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober." Sober-minded, saying, think about things that matter. Think about main things. Think about the right things in the right way so that you may pray. He's saying, pay attention. The end of all things is near. Certainly for believers, you know, we have eternal life, so for us, we're going to keep going. But he's saying to these believers, Peter's telling him, listen, reality as you know it is winding down. The world that you know is coming to an end, and so you need to take this seriously. You can't go about your days being apathetic. You can't go through your days just going through the motions anymore. You need to pay attention to what's going on. Understand the times that you live in, that the world is winding down. So he's saying, don't spend your time thinking about foolish things or trivial things, but you need to really pay attention here. Don't be oblivious. Keep the main thing the main thing. Okay, Peter, what's the main thing? What matters most? Verse 8, above all, love each other deeply. Above all, love each other deeply. Some of your translations say fervently, intensely. In the Greek, it means with this unceasing, intense activity. It's actually a word that's used, translated deeply, referring to athletes. This straining of every muscle to the maximum ability, putting everything into it, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Peter's saying, listen, love stands ready to overlook the unloveliness of the other person and the unkindness of the other person. It is standing ready to forgive them because they're going to fall short, and to seek what's best for that other person. Peter's talking about a lifestyle, an intentionality of activity, of serving other people in love, covering a multitude of sins. So Peter says, above all, love intensely. Love intentionally. That's the main thing. Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, "By this all people will know you're my disciples if you love one another." Yeah. If you love one another, that if you will live as this beautiful family of God, expressing that love, not just an emotion you have on the inside, but a way that you live, a lifestyle of serving each other, you will embody the love of Christ. Yes. And then Peter says, and this is a specific example here of how that could be expressed, offer hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. This is a time when Christians are being persecuted. There's a lot of Christians who are losing their home because of the gospel. They're preaching the gospel, and people are confiscating their possessions, and they're losing their jobs, and a lot of them don't have anywhere to go. So Peter's saying, listen, actively love one another, provide hospitality, provide care for each other. There's missionaries and pastors going out with the gospel that have nowhere to stay, and he's saying, offer hospitality to each other. And then Peter gives us a little bit of a bigger view, the principle here in verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have, whatever gift you've received, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And then Peter provides a couple of areas of gifts that a believer might have. Words and action. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. You know, the Word of God tells us it's out of the abundance of the heart that your mouth speaks. So Peter's saying, listen, be so full of the Word of God and the love of God so that when you speak, it's the very words of God coming out into people's lives. It's not from you. Your thoughts, it's God's Word that you're sharing with other people. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides. So that, here's the purpose that God intends. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So let's talk for a minute about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to cover everything at all today. You're going to have to really go home and do your homework and open up the Word of God. We're just going to skim over some things and take a broad view. There's references all over the New Testament of how the Holy Spirit provides for the church with gifts and how the church can minister to each other and the world around us. Romans chapter 12, if you turn in your Bibles for a minute to Romans chapter 12, starting verse 3. And Paul's writing about humbly serving each other in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3, Paul writes, "For by the grace that has been given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ Jesus, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy, in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Love must be sincere. Echoing those words of Peter. Above all, love each other deeply. Love must be sincere. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm just going to make a couple quick references. Actually, chapters 12, 13, and 14, if you'd read those later today, because we're not going to this morning. Major section talking about gifts that God has given, spiritual gifts that we have. Paul often is dealing with problems in the church, and he's dealing with some of those things here in these chapters, and there's this exaggerated notion about the importance of the gift of speaking in other languages, the gift of tongues. And these believers are, in a very unhealthy, prideful, arrogant way, are elevating this, and they're ignoring the greater thing, which is love. There's a lack of emphasis on the supreme gift, which is love. There in chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, Paul tells them there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God who is at work. Paul goes on to explain that even though there are diverse gifts, there are different services, there are different ministries, that there is unity in one Holy Spirit. But because of their immaturity and their arrogance, there is division among them. And Paul's telling him, listen, you are elevating the gift that you and your carnality prefer because you think it makes you look like you're something. So you're really trying to elevate this and saying, look at me, draw attention to me, look at my gift, and it's causing division, not unity. In chapter 13, the Word of God's so clear. And just to give you the Cliff Notes version of that, love is indispensable. Without love, you are nothing. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you think you know, without the love of God, you and I are nothing. But love is the greatest. We're bankrupt without love. No matter where you are in the Christian life, no matter what's going on with you, without the love of God, you are bankrupt without that love. In the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, if you turn there for a moment, please do write these references down. Check these out later, please. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, Paul talks more about gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about gifts of people who equip others for service and build up the church. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let's look at the nature of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. The nature of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are grace gifts. Every gift from God is a grace gift. We never earn it. We never deserve it. Any gifting you have is a gift from Him. It is unmerited. It may take the form of a talent, it may not, that you have, but in reality, no matter what it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, there, verse 6 that we just looked at. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And then our key verse again, 1 Peter chapter 4, there in verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received, whatever gift you have received as a gift, a grace gift from God, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are also sovereign gifts. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit who distributes each of them just as He determines. Whatever gifts you have received, it is because of the sovereignty of God determining that it suits God's will and His purposes in your life. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are practical gifts. They're functional gifts. You know, sometimes with the early church, like they're with the Corinthians, it was almost like they thought that the gifts were ornaments that you put on a Christmas tree, right, to draw attention. Look how pretty this is. Look at how shiny and bright and noticeable. And Paul's saying, no, it's not about that. It's not about drawing attention to yourself. It's not about displaying gifts. And it's not even just about blessing the individual believer, although we are blessed to receive. It's not, you know, gifts God has given you or talents He gives you. It's not like a box of candy that you're just to break into and enjoy. It is to enable you to minister in the body of Christ, to build up other people, and to stimulate unity and peace and harmony in the body of Christ. But the individual is blessed. We're blessed when we exercise the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of other people. Every believer has a gift from the Holy Spirit. There in Romans 12 and verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. You may think, you know, I just, Pastor, everybody else, I can see their gifts, but I don't feel like I have any gifting. You do. According to the Word of God, you do. The Scriptures teach that every believer has received gifts for the benefit of the body of Christ for you to exercise, to serve other people. So what's your spiritual gift? I want us to look for a moment at discovering our spiritual gift and using your spiritual gift. How can you know? How can you discern and understand, discover what your gifts are if you don't know? Well, first of all, be in the Word of God and read what the Word of God says about different spiritual gifts and pray over that. But also, as you're praying, let the Holy Spirit guide your burdens. You know, there's times that we look at maybe a need in the church or a need in somebody's life, and we think somebody ought to do something about that. And if we're honest before the Lord in prayer about that, a lot of times He's gifted us to do something about it, you know? As my friend Norm likes to say, oughts are non-transferable. If you're in prayer and you've got a burden for somebody or a need, maybe that burden, God's telling you something. Yeah. You do something about it. I have given a provision. You be the answer to that prayer. So that's one of the things that can be an indication. If you have a burden and you see that you've got a gift to meet that burden, maybe that's your spiritual gift. It's one of the things that in church life, I mean, I love it when you guys notice something that is lacking here. That we do, you know, because we're not the be-all, end-all, no church is. But you say, hey, here's something that's missing. That's wonderful, but I'm just going to tell you, a lot of times the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is, have you prayed about whether you are the provision to meet that need? Because you're the one who's been burdened with it. But also look at how you can benefit others. If you want to know what your gifts are, look at how you can bless and benefit other people. And sometimes that's what you do. You know, you just jump in. You might not even be aware of a gifting you have. But maybe you recognize and you're thankful. You think, you know what, I'm so grateful for Ernie and Sharon coming in early every week. Amen. And serving Jesus Christ the way that they selflessly do week to week. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe I could come in a little early and ask if they need any help. And you know what? When you do something like that, when you just step out and start serving and you say, and there's a multitude of ways here that you can do that. But you just jump in and say, you know what? There's a need and I could help. I could do something. And you do that. A lot of times as you do that, you start finding gifts that you have that you never knew you had. You start getting to pray for people or encourage people or whatever it may be in a way that you've never dared to do before. But just jump out and do it. See how in a spirit of love you can serve Christ and serve other people, trusting in Him. Step out in faith and just, God may reveal a gift that you have in doing that. But then also evaluate your effectiveness. I can tell you right now, you know, if everybody on the worship team had laryngitis next week, you know, I may want to help sing, but I am not gifted for that. You don't want me to. I make a joyful noise over here, and our Father loves that. You know, he does, and I'm singing for Him, so. But I'm just saying it wouldn't help any of you for me to get up here and sing. So we got to be honest with ourselves. You know, as we serve, sometimes just to look at that and not whether we feel good about it or bad about it, but is it doing what it's supposed to do? Is it building up the church? Yeah. That's what our gifts are supposed to do. Is it communicating the love of God and is it building up other people around us? And listen for the affirmations of other people, or the confirmation of other people as you serve. There's times that somebody who is more mature, you know, you may be serving in some way in the body of Christ, and you don't know if you're having any impact or not. And you think, well, this is a trivial thing, and okay, I'll do that. But then somebody who's a little more mature, a little further along, has the discernment to recognize you're having an impact. And so they come along and they give a confirmation of that, and they say, you know, God's using you in a way that you may not know. God is using you in that situation, and He is using your gifts, and He is strengthening other people through that. He is blessing the church through that. I've been so blessed to have that in my life, where I had an opportunity to do something that I thought, all right, I'm just going to step out in faith and serve in that way. I don't think I'm equipped to do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then somebody who's been walking with the Lord a lot longer and a lot closer than I have, who has a gift of encouragement, said to me, you know, you have a gift for that. I didn't. I didn't know that. But I think that you know what's up more than I do. So maybe I do. And they were right. They were right. Listen for those affirmations, those confirmations from other people about your gifting as you serve. And this is probably the least useful, but I'll go ahead and throw it out there. Examining your own spiritual satisfaction. You know, God gives us gifts, ways that we can express the love of Christ for the sake of other people, not for our own sake, but there are times, there are those epiphanies where you're, as you're serving in a ministry for a period of time, and you just have this joyful aha, you're just like, wow, I never thought I would say this, but I love doing this. You know, whatever that ministry may be, whatever that expression of the love of God, whatever those gifts are, that maybe you were scared to death to jump out and serve and use a particular gift, and you do that, and you have this moment of satisfaction. It's not the best indicator, but it can be an indicator with the other things. But God is a great, great giver. And He has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you are heaven-born, heaven-bound, heaven-blessed, if you are in Christ Jesus, He has given you spiritual gifts to use. You are a steward of those gifts. You're responsible to use them for the benefit of the church, for the glory of Christ. You know, Galatians 4 tells us, if you have received the Son, you've got the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need you to feel anything for that to be true. You may feel it, you may not. It doesn't matter. It's true because God says so. If you are a child of God, when you received what Christ did for you on that cross, you received the Holy Spirit for many reasons. But one of those reasons is that you would be able to function in the body of Christ in a way that He intends for you to. What good is a hand if it won't function as a hand? What good is an eye if it just won't open? What good can it do for the rest of the body? God calls us to be a blessing and to, first of all, to keep the main thing, which is that we are receiving His love and giving that love. But it is an active love. It's a serving love. It's a visible love. He's entrusted you with it. I don't want to twist anybody's arms. I understand that there are times where maybe we're wounded in some way. And what God's doing in us in that moment is not necessarily opening up a door to serve Him in some way, but He just wants us to receive healing and blessing and strengthening from Him to let other people minister to us, and that's great. Yeah. That's what the body of Christ is for too. So it's not always, I don't want to lay a guilt trip on anybody, but I also don't want to neglect pointing out a blessing to you, that God has given you a gift. Probably many gifts, and He wants you to use them. And He's glorified when we use them. We have a responsibility. You're not going to have those gifts forever.
No.
You got them for a little while. John Wesley, his house burned. And some people ran to him that knew where he was, and he wasn't home. And they said, "Pastor Wesley, your house is burned to the ground." And he said, "No, it hasn't. That's impossible." And they said, "It has. It is burned to the ground. It is gone. It is just a heap of ashes. It is gone." And he said, "That's not possible." And they said, "Pastor Wesley, we saw it. We saw it. Your house, it's gone." And John Wesley said, "I don't have a house." He said, "I have a place that I live in that God gave me. And that's his house. Everything that I have is his. And if he doesn't want to put that fire out and he wants his house to burn to the ground, then he will give me somewhere else to live." But he said, "I'm not caught up in that house. That's not my house, that's his house." I think he had a really great perspective on stewardship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For a short time, you've got this house that you're in right now. The body that he's given you, the life he's given you, the talents he's given you, for a very short time. He wants you to use those to express his love, to serve other people, to bless them. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Everything you are and everything you have belongs to him. It all belongs to him. And he wants you to serve other people in love and let other people serve you in love. Every gift you have is a God-given gift. I'm going to pray for us. But I would challenge you, pray over the Word of God. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving us the wondrous gift of yourself for your glory. That we would know you, that we would walk in the light, that we would walk in love, that we would walk in the Spirit, that we would live a lifestyle of loving service that actively not only speaks love to other people, but shows love. Starting here, starting in the body of Christ, in the church, Lord, that we would serve each other and love each other. Lord, we know your word says that we love because you first loved us. And so, Lord, we pray, because your love was an active love and is an active redeeming love and a powerful love and a sacrificial love, God, that we would love in the same way. That love would fill us and motivate us and move us to action. And maybe along the way discover that we've been gifted in some way by your Holy Spirit for your glory and to minister to our brothers and sisters, God. So, Lord Jesus, we pray for the church today. God, we pray for your people, that among your people, that your love would be so irresistible and so powerful, welling up inside each of us, shed abroad by the Holy Spirit in each of our hearts, God, that we joyfully say, "How can I serve my brother or sister? How can I bless? How can I be a blessing? Lord Jesus, who around me do you want to love through me today? Help me to walk it out." Do it for your glory, Jesus.